The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Lots of things happening as we get going on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. There is now a chance that your kids may not have in-person learning this fall. I will explain that in just a few minutes. A chance, I'm not saying a probability, but after all the assurances that we will get the schools open, we will get the kids back, the teachers' union is now sending messages that they may not go back to work. I'll tell you about that in just a few minutes. Glad you're with us. We're coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to the big show, and we are very busy today. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. I told you so.
I told you during the last legislative session to contact your state legislators and tell them they cannot pass the most restrictive police laws in the United States of America, because we predicted 6 months ago that this would be disastrous for our state. And yet the Democrats on strict party lines, they passed this, which is making Washington state the most criminal friendly state in the country. And we're seeing the results of that. We're seeing, you know, skyrocketing murder rate. We're on our way to record murders in Seattle, record shootings in King County. Drive-bys have doubled over last year. I have another one of those to tell you about as we get going here. It's on. The criminals right now are winning because of the Democrats in the legislature and their voters. Let's get right to the big lead. Oh, I already did that. I already said that. I already did the lighter. Never mind that. So here's what happened last night in Puyallup. Shots fired in a Kohl's parking lot about 10:20 last night on the south hill of Puyallup. People called 911, and Pierce County Sheriff's made a very quick response, including with the canine unit. As they questioned people, nobody saw the actual shooting, but several people saw a young male in a black pants and a black shirt running away. The canine was going crazy to pick up the scent and to go find a murder suspect. They were not allowed to search because of the Democrats in the state legislature and their voters. Because the new standard in Washington, unlike the other 49 states where they at least are trying to fight crime, in Washington, for some reason, our one-party state has decided to be a criminal haven. So now in Washington, you have to have probable cause before any use of force against somebody. Now, ordinarily, if you have lots of people saying somebody in black shirt and black pants was running away from a murder, the police would use the dog to track that person. And what often happens is the dog takes it down, takes the person down, may leave bite marks. Well, that's not allowed, because this person was just a suspect. Nobody saw this person pull the trigger. And so it defies credulity that people saw a guy running away from a murder scene that person wouldn't be involved. But police were not allowed to search anymore. The spokesperson for the Pierce County Sheriff's Office is Sergeant Darren Moss, who was on the scene last night.
We did have a canine officer respond within a couple minutes, but unfortunately, because there was no probable cause developed yet for an individual, they decided not to track with the canine, just so that in case if they did use force, they wouldn't be outside of the policy or the new laws.
They were on the scene so quickly, and the dogs are so good at tracking people, it's likely that they would have tracked down and caught a murder suspect last night. But instead, thanks to the Democrats in the legislature and their voters, a murderer is running around free. Somebody with a gun who has used it before and would probably, no doubt, use it again, is running around free today. May never be caught. This is what the legislature has wrought. I use the WR rot, but we've got a lot of ROT rot right now in our state. It's unbelievable. that this is becoming such a crime haven. I will talk with Pierce County Sheriff Ed Troyer right after the 12:30 news about this, because I do have questions. Why, if they, you know, it's a violent scene, why they couldn't go after this guy with the canine. So we'll talk to the sheriff about that coming up right after the bottom of the hour news. There is another incident to tell you about. As the crime spreads, continues to hit innocent people, this in Renton last night. About 7 o'clock, a woman was cleaning the garage at her home. She had the car outside of the garage. 6 teenagers were walking by. They were masked. And she thought, well, kids are wearing masks these days, so she didn't think anything about it. Until one of the teens came up to this woman and put a gun in her face and said, give me the keys to the car. And the woman, after being threatened with the gun, she tried to talk the kid down. And that's when another one of the teenagers put another gun against her head and said, give us the keys. She did, so she wouldn't be shot and murdered. Those 6 children took off in her car. Estimated to be between the ages of 14 and 16 years old. The police found the vehicle crashed about 2 miles away after that. They used a helicopter, canine, drones to look for those suspects. None have been found, but the 2 with guns are suspected to be between 14 and 16 years old. Now, this happened in Renton, King County, Dow Constantine. No youth jail. That's the chant. That's the marching orders from the top Democrats in our region. No youth jail. So 2 kids put a gun up to a woman's head as they carjack her, or steal her car, technically, because she wasn't driving it. And Dow Constantine says, oh, they're children. It's for the children. We can't lock them up. We'll give them a life coach. Yay. And then their lives will be wonderful. Well, it'll be utopia. It's just, oh, man, it's going to be awesome. Can you imagine how great our region's going to be? If it's this great already. Thanks to all the Democrats in charge at the city, county, state level. Imagine how great it'll be a few years from now when they can accelerate all of the things they've already put in place. So if they even caught the kids, Dow Constantine will fight to not have them charged as adults, give them a little teensy-weensy slap on the wrist because they did something really super bad. And then they'll continue free. So, we got armed children running around. We have another armed murderer running around today. And we have politicians and their voters who have enabled this dystopian nightmare that is gripping our entire state right now. More on this coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll tell you more details about this Puyallup story. Okay, up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
As I told you, there is a chance that kids will not go back to school this fall. After assurances from teachers' unions, the head of the American Federation of Teachers, her name is Randy Weingarten, and a few months ago she said, we must get kids back in school. The remote learning isn't working. We've got to get them back in school. Until yesterday, when the same Randy Weingarten went on MSNBC and now said, well, we'll try to get the kids back in school.
Vaccination is the number one gold standard that we need to, you know, bring back our masks for schools. So the bottom line is, we're going to keep kids safe. We're going to keep our members safe. And we're going to try to open up schools. And we're going to try to move through this political battlefield.
It's gone from a certainty we must reopen schools to now, well, we'll try. And why? Well, because while there are many, many wonderful, loving, dedicated teachers who realize that remote learning has been a nightmare. While we've destroyed the lives of many children, many of whom have committed suicide in the last year, while we are watching our children's mental health spiral down, they're already a year behind the kids in the private schools, because the private schools were open all year, and remote learning was an absolute travesty. And now she's saying, we'll try. And why? Well, because it's a bargaining chip. They're going to now say, well, it's too dangerous. The kids aren't vaccinated. And here in Washington, I mean, she's the head of the National American Federation of Teachers. But here in our state, most counties, it's less than 50% child vaccination. Snohomish County, 46%. Skagit, 35%. Whatcom, 42%. Pierce, 33%. Lewis, 18%. Thurston, 42%. Kitsap, 45%. They're all below 50%. The only county that's not is King, where 62% of the kids are vaccinated. Those numbers provided by the Seattle Times, by the way, and the Washington State Department of Health. So there's a certain, not all kids are going to be vaccinated, because a lot of parents recognize that there's no point in it. And in fact, there really is no point. Johns Hopkins study has just been released. I know Johns Hopkins is barely a step above some Caribbean diploma mill. They're no good at Johns Hopkins. They just did a study and they found zero COVID deaths among healthy kids. And what they did was they studied a group of 48,000 children, a fantastically large sample size, and they found zero COVID deaths among healthy kids. But the CDC still says, no, you got to make the kids wear masks. Jay Inslee said masks will be mandatory in K through 12, which is just, it's unthinkingly piling so much mental distress on our kids. But now the head of the American Federation of Teachers is saying, well, we'll try. What's undoubtedly going to happen is the teachers are going to say, well, we'll go back to class, but you've got to give us hazard pay. Give us an extra, $5,000, $10,000, just a little kiss of hazard pay so that we can go back and teach the kids in school, even though the kids are not spreaders. But the teachers' union owns so many politicians, and there is now the possibility, according to the head of the American Federation of Teachers, that they will not go back to in-person learning. I will also tell you that there are some, unlike Jay Inslee, who is horrible advocating for kids, the governor of Missouri, Mike Parson, he said, not in our state. That will not be tolerated.
There is no thing to talk about trying to get kids in school. They need to be in school. That's the best place these kids can be. And it's the safest place for them to be is in a school setting with the support they need around them. We need to be talking about we're going to school, not trying to go to school. And that's what we're going to do in this state.
Jay Inslee, he said last year that you got to get the kids back in school, but will he say it again? Because here's what has to happen. It is illegal for teachers to strike. They do it all the time because they know that Democrat politicians have no guts to enforce the prohibition of striking with the teachers. And so Jay Inslee has to say, if you refuse to do your job, you're fired. You need to do what Ronald Reagan did with the air traffic controllers back in the 80s. If you refuse to do your job, you are fired. That's the way it needs to be. And we need to get the kids back in school because the kids are suffering more mentally, emotionally, educationally than anybody dreamed possible. It has been a disaster, and it's been heartbreaking for so many families who have lost kids to suicide, to overdoses in the last year. And yet the teachers' union president nationally is suggesting, hey, let's keep this up another year now. And I would love to hear from you. If you're a parent, if you're counting on life somewhat getting back to normal in September, Let me know what you think about this and your kids going back to school. Text me at 98973. That's 98973. And finally, in the big lead.
The big lead, big local.
A lot of companies here in Seattle area, Puget Sound area, are saying no vax, no service. They are going to mandate that you show proof of vaccination. Show me your papers. To get into some restaurants and bars, Cairo 7 did a piece on this with reporter Kevin Coe.
If you want a cocktail with a shot or two of gin, here at Roquette, you'll first need a shot or two of a COVID-19 vaccine.
If you're not vaccinated, just...
You know, I gotta say, that's a clever lead by Kevin Coe. That was well done.
Please don't come in.
Eric Hakkinen opened his Belltown bar a few months before the COVID-19 pandemic shut it down. But the key difference now is that we have COVID-19 vaccine, and he sees that as the key to staying open.
We all need to pitch in. This is a community effort. Everybody needs to get vaccinated, so we're not still doing this in a year.
Roquette is one of several businesses in downtown Seattle with a new policy. No vaccine, no service.
So you're going to have to show them proof of your private medical information in order to get into some bars and restaurants around Seattle. I know everybody in politics and most in the media are trying to blame unvaccinated people for Delta variant. But why is it? A bunch of Texas Democrats who flew out of state to Washington, D.C., they were all vaccinated. Bunch of them got COVID. And then they were super spreaders. They get to Washington, D.C., and they give a bunch of federal officials COVID. Why are we blaming the unvaccinated? A bunch of Major League Baseball players vaccinated have gotten COVID. Olympic athletes vaccinated have gotten COVID. Why is everything being heaped on unvaccinated people? And if unvaccinated people is such a critical issue right now, why is Joe Biden allowing tens of thousands of illegal aliens who are untested, not wearing masks, to come across the southern border, and then they're flying them to cities around the country to disperse the problem? If masks and vaccination are so important, they would not allow unmasked, unvaccinated people, many of whom have COVID, across the southern border. Nothing makes sense from a political standpoint and a public health standpoint right now. And that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
We'll check the news for you, and then the Pierce County Sheriff will join me to explain why they had to call off searching for a murder suspect because of the new laws that just went into place Sunday, thanks to the Democrats in the state legislature and their voters. We will talk to the sheriff coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Hannah, let's talk about this news you just broke. We've got a tweet now from the Seattle Police Department. Suspect in custody following a report of a sexual assault at the King County Courthouse. And I know that your law enforcement sources, Hannah, have said it was a 7-month pregnant woman and a homeless vagrant who tried to rape her. Is that all correct?
That is exactly what I have. I got that information from a source of mine just a little bit before the SPD had their tweet sent out. Obviously, very much unfolding. This had all happened just within essentially the last hour is what I was being told. So we will find out more. But yeah, a 7-month pregnant woman. Attempted rape is what we're talking about that happened here somewhere inside. It was in the restroom of the King County Courthouse.
So in this, the homeless encampment, the right adjacent to the courthouse, mm-hmm. on the plaza of the courthouse, that's where a murder occurred a couple of weeks ago. And they let those campers, they let them just in and out to use the bathroom. Is that right?
I do believe so, unless there's some reason that they've done something that has them barred from the courthouse. But I've never seen that happen. That they let them in, or they sneak in. I'm not sure. I know they had some heightened security. I believe that was before the pandemic. Remember when they were letting people, having people come in through the other side of the courthouse on the other street on 4th, yeah. I believe. But yeah, I've not seen in where they keep anyone out of that public facility.
Good Lord. Okay, so because of a homeless encampment, we've had a murder, and now today the attempted rape of a 7-month pregnant woman in the courthouse bathroom. All right, I know you're going to keep working the story, as will we, Hannah. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You betcha.
Okay, and the violence is not just in Seattle. Let's continue now with our Big Lead coverage.
The Big Lead, top story.
Well, as we have been telling you, the Democrats in our state legislature have made Washington maybe the most dangerous state in the union, because the other 49 states have not handcuffed our police officers like the Democrats in the state legislature have. And we have another example of it. Last night in Puyallup, yet another murder. We had a murder in SeaTac 2 nights ago. Puyallup last night. We've had 6 in Tacoma the last week and a half. We have had 5 last weekend in Seattle. It is madness. Ed Troyer is the Pierce County Sheriff. He joins us on the Dory Monson Show. Sheriff, appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, so I do believe, after having talked to you and your colleagues, that this is maybe one of the most dangerous pieces of legislation I have ever seen. It is also one of the sloppiest. It's almost incoherent. But tell my listeners what happened last night in the Kohl's parking lot in Puyallup.
Well, out in South Hill area, unincorporated Pierce County, we had reports of multiple shots fired, and we got out there. We found a young male, deceased, probably in his teens, and we developed information that people had seen somebody run away from the shooting and with dark clothing and took off in a certain direction. So we went out there with our deputies and contained the area, and we brought our canine out. But it was made, unfortunately, the determination was made that we did not know the name of the shooter, and we didn't actually have anybody who saw him pull the trigger. So we didn't have the probable cause to take the canine. In the past, we would have. We would have taken the canine and done a track to see if we could locate the suspect. But last night, we were unable to deploy the canine because of the new laws. So we believe we have somebody who's armed out there who did do the shooting, who took off, where one of our tools was taken from us to try and apprehend the suspect.
So the witnesses did not see the shooting, but they did see a male with black shirt, black pants, running from that scene. And that alone is not enough probable cause under this new law?
No, it's not. It's not, because it could have been somebody that was a friend of his. It could have been somebody who was with the shooter. There's just a lot of different scenarios that need to play out. And if we were to put the canine out, then that's considered force. If the canine finds them and then the canine bites them or apprehends them, then that's the use of force. And since we don't have probable cause, instead of reasonable suspicion like before, now if we don't have probable cause that he was actually the shooter, we would be in trouble. We'd be in violation of the law. So it's very frustrating to our people and very frustrating, you know, to our canine unit. And I'm betting it's probably frustrating to the dog, too, when he gets there and knows what's going on. And the dog needs to track, and they're trained to do that, but yet they're not able to do that because they know when they're about ready to go to work. And in this particular case, they got out there and the dog wasn't able to go to work.
Well, and it's frustrating also to those of us who believe in having a lawful, ordered society. And instead, we have a state legislature, Democrats in the state legislature, it was along party lines, who are not only embracing chaos, but they are ensuring that killers go free. I mean, this is just unbelievable, Sheriff. I've never seen anything like this.
Well, we're doing a lot of training. In fact, I just came out of a couple hours worth of training to try and help understand the laws that we're going to have to be continually updating our people to try and make sure they understand them too, because there's some that are just in total conflict with each other. And we're trying to work through that through the prosecutor's office. And luckily, we have a very supportive prosecutor's office and our legal advisors to make sure we're doing the right thing. And you know, nobody doesn't want criminal justice reform. Even during the election, we have this program. We have 5 co-responders that are mental health experts. And one of the things I said, I'd love to double that. to 10. Well, through grants and legislation, but through grants and different sources of funding, we were able to get 4 more. So we now have 9 mental health co-responders, which is a good thing. We understand that people in mental health crisis need mental health workers. People that are homeless, people that are drug addicted need human services. We are on board with that 100%.
Sure.
But in order to fix those problems, you don't take the tools away for us to catch bad people that harm people and create havoc in society and need to be taken out of society. So it's just gone way too far, and it just needs a pendulum swung way out here, and the pendulum hopefully swings back, and we're able to get some legislation that fixes some of these issues, and my deputies aren't handcuffed from protecting the public.
Right.
That's the sad thing here.
Well, you mentioned that there are many conflicting things in what the Democrats passed. And one of them is they said they want police officers to, whenever possible, use less lethal. And they specifically said, like beanbags. And then they also outlawed 50 caliber or larger guns, which is the size that shoots the beanbags. So, you know, I said on the air yesterday, I don't know what they're expecting. If you guys are supposed to just be playing cornhole with suspects and toss the beanbags at them, it's crazy.
Well, what we're doing is, and each agency is different here, and the state's not giving really good guidelines on what they want to see or what the actual intent of this was. But what we're doing is we are actually going to go ahead and keep those caliber of weapons to use our non-lethal beanbags and what are called rubber bullets, because I would rather have to defend our deputies using less lethal and violating that portion of the law by using less lethal and putting it into a situation besides going straight to bullets and then having
right.
to harm somebody or kill somebody. And
but
then
aren't you supposed to destroy those guns under the legislation? Aren't you supposed to destroy guns that are 50 caliber or larger?
Well, what we've done is if you have military weapons, you're supposed to give them back. We don't have military weapons, but it says military type weapons. So we have pulled shotguns that we've used for many, many years out of our arsenal. And so they're not being used anymore unless
right.
they're going to be used for less lethal. And every day we have a new opinion that comes at us from some of these craziness of some of these laws and our ability to stop and detain people. And the real sad part is there's some of these people that are suicidal and some people that have obvious mental health problems.
Yeah.
If they have not committed a crime that brings it up to the level of being able to detain them, and they're just kind of out in the weather and things are going bad for them and they obviously need help, they're in distress, we're not going to be able to get them that help until we call our co-responders and other programs. So what they really need to do is if they're going to take all these tools away for all the people that we are not able to help anymore, they need to put other programs, other responders, and other services in place to replace, you know, what the cops have been doing for years. And those services are not in place. Those
right.
those programs are not in place. So who's going to help people that really need help? And that's why people sign up to do my job, our job, and my people. I'm going to support them, and I'm going to tell them, you still go to these calls, and we get the people as much help as we can until we get to the point to where we may be violating a new
sure.
law. But we're still going to make calls and do what we can. We're still going to show up to people's houses, and we're still going to try and do what we can. It's just going to look way different. And what people really need to understand, it's not that the police won't do it. It's that we can't do it. It's
right.
not, oh, the cops won't do anything about it. No, the cops want to do something about it. We just can't now.
Real quick, I talked to Roger Goodman, Democratic state rep who supports these new laws on Monday, and he said it's not really going to affect police work at all. He said they put a bunch of safeguards in there. What do you say to a Democrat legislator who says something like that?
Well, what they'll see is that's not true, because all the agencies do really good jobs of collecting data on use of force, on handcuffing people, on how we do traffic stops. And what it's going to prove, as we're seeing on a daily basis here, that there are people that aren't going to jail that need to be in jail, that are a danger to society. There are people that aren't going to be arrested that may go out and commit further crimes or hurt somebody after that. our ability to help firefighters in a crisis when they need help is going to be hampered. And we're documenting all that. And what you're going to see very quickly here is that every single agency is going to have a list of things that we couldn't do and the tools that were taken from us and the ramifications of it. And it'll be heavily documented. Yeah. And I'm hoping by the time the next legislation rolls around, they see that and fix it.
Well, we're going to have a year of chaos before the next legislative session, though. All right, so you're telling me a murder is loose today. Your guys were on the scene very, very quickly with a K-9 unit last night in Puyallup at the Kohl's parking lot. And you're telling me a week ago you think you would have caught the suspect, and last night you were not allowed to even chase the suspect. Is that all
last
correct?
Most of that's correct, but we don't know if we would have caught the suspect. We definitely would have had more tools to try and catch a suspect last night. We would have been able to deploy the K-9, and the K-9 could do a track. And then, of course, you know, the K-9 does a track, and we find somebody armed with a gun that matches the description. Then we can take the investigation to the next level after that. Right. But we just never were able to get to that point. But our dogs are pretty good at catching people. So I would like to say, yes, we would have probably caught the suspect.
To be precise, a week ago, you could have at least chased and looked for a suspect, but now under this legislation, you are not allowed to even do that. Correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
All right. Sheriff Ed Troyer in Pierce County, where there was a murder last night in Puyallup. Sheriff, I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on with me today.
All right. Thank you.
All right. I'd like to know what you think. I blame not just the Democrats in the legislature, but it's time to start blaming the voters who are putting such radicals in place to make this the most dangerous state in the country. It is stomach-turning what's happening. Text me, 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come on the Dory Monson Show. Maybe the most bizarre vote I've ever seen was last fall when the citizens of King County voted to take away their power to elect a sheriff. And they said, oh, no, we don't want the responsibility. We'll let the county council appoint the new sheriff. The problem is the county council, King County is, you know, Seattle's got its own huge government. I don't even know why Seattle is part of King County government, because I know we're in King County, but the county council is stacked with far left Seattle people, and they don't represent the suburbs. They don't represent the rural areas. And now they're going to get a radical sheriff so that they can have law enforcement in their own image. And what the Democrats are doing is fewer police, less jail time, let's let criminals walk free. Legislature, let's let a murderer go free, or suspected murder last night. And I fear that things are going to get even worse for policing in King County. And that's because the county council has appointed a new director of the Office of Law Enforcement Oversight. The guy is a Chicago social activist. Whoo, yeah, let's get some of that Chicago police work here in King County. We're getting close on the death rate. He's a Chicago social activist, lawyer, investigator, and progressive police reformer. His name is Tamir Abuzayed. And the county council members, the furthest left council members, say they are so excited to see this guy get the job. He also has been an attorney for CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations. And I know a little bit about CARE. Several years ago, local chapter of CARE tried mightily to get me fired. They tried to get me fired. They even secured a meeting in the building with our general manager. And they asked me if I wanted to be in the meeting. And I said, yeah, I will. Yeah, let's hear what's going on. And I walk in and I go up to the guy and I put my hand out to shake his hand. He would refuse to shake my hand. And his whole point was they wanted to get me fired. And CARE has been declared by at least one country, United Arab Emirates, to be a terrorist organization. Whether they are or not, there's no doubt that they've had ties to both Hamas and Hezbollah. So I'm a little questioning of a CARE attorney, but it's the Chicago social activist and progressive. I have a feeling that law enforcement is going to get a lot worse with this new director of the Office of Law Enforcement Oversight in King County. Let's check the news for you. We will update you on the breaking news from the King County Courthouse and the Fast 15, all coming up next.